Anything changed this week?
Yeah, well, I haven't managed to get my laundry done. And what else? I've lost a few pounds.
Weight.
A lot of weight loss. And I'm eating meals irregularly. And I can't go into Boots the Chemist and buy personal things anymore.
Is it like a merry-go-round?
Is it what?
Like a merry-go-round.
Like a merry-go-round? No, not really. I mean, it's a little bit of deja vu, to be honest with you. It's a little bit of deja vu. And it's very busy. It's like hectic, incredibly hectic. I'm amazed that I've been able to sort of cope with it, really. More than anything else, it's just been very demanding on my energy. Because we've had to fit in a lot of interviews, photo sessions, radio stations. And it's fun. I enjoy it. And I am enjoying it immensely. So it's no hard deal. Good.
But would you have sort of preferred to sort of stay in 21, 22?
No. I want to be number one. I want to dictate the music scene.
Yeah. Are you feeling better now that you're back on stage and doing this stuff?
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, although that must make you tired, does that give you like renewed strength?
No, it's strange. It's like, because you have to, every night is such a challenge, so demanding, that you have to stretch yourself more and more and more. And I'm really more surprised that I have a kind of energy reserve that I hadn't really discovered in myself before. So it's very heartening, and it's also good to get a positive response from audiences. I mean, in some respects, one knows that if the album and the single weren't doing so well, that there wouldn't be the crowds there, and there probably wouldn't be the same kind of response. Because people, in a way, do need to be reassured that what they're going to see is worthy of their money and their time. And somehow, if you're in the charts, that seems to be the one thing that convinces people that they're worthwhile checking out. Which is in some ways ironic, but it's very human. And I know that there's people that have come to see us that would have come to see us whether there were 8 people in the audience, or 800, or 1,000, or whatever, you know. So, it's just, it's been a, when you said a merry-go-round, I'd say more of a whirlwind.
But is it good that it's taken this long, or looking back, do you still wish it had happened at the time of the walk?
I'm happy that it's happening now. I feel it's just happened at the right time. I feel ready for it now. I think if it happened before, it would have been too soon, and I wasn't in the right frame of mind for it then. I was still checking out Eurythmics and what Eurythmics was, and now I have a clear picture of what it is. It seems like the right time to show it to people, to reveal it to people. And also, something I was saying to you earlier, I'd like to sort of re-endorse in this interview, is that I really enjoy the fact that this is like one-off. You know, what we're doing with the people live, the style that we're playing, and all of that is once and once only. Or maybe it might come around again if we feel it's right. But I don't have that awful kind of dread of knowing that maybe the next year I've got to have the same people sitting in the same positions in the van, driving any amount of hours, and maybe not being that happy with it, and not knowing how to change it.
Yeah, changing things like that is interesting, because that goes back to the video for Love is a Stranger, where you're sort of, you know, adopting different poses and you know, taking off wigs and doing things. But is that also an element of not letting the public see too much of you and hiding behind a creation that's anyway?
No, I would say it was letting the public see a little bit more of me in a funny sort of way. Because I feel in myself that one cannot be put directly into a box or concept. Everybody, I feel, is a whole mixture of personalities and influences. I feel that particularly in myself. And in a way, showing something like Love is a Stranger, putting it down on film as a concept, is more revealing, maybe, of my true nature, which is very chameleon-like.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was speaking to Dave yesterday about this thing about Dave, the DNA, Dave and Annie, you know.
That's tongue-in-cheek. All of that is kind of...
But at the same time, it personalises it, you know, that Eurythmics isn't just a group, it's like two people that you can sort of know and trust. And I thought last night when you came up to do the encore, it was like a sort of bizarre Nina and Frederick.
Oh, yes. Oh, you mean Tous les Garçons?
Yeah.
Oh, completely. It's just that. It's just it's just Dave and I.
But do you like that sort of idea of sort of saying to people, here we are, we're two people, you can sort of, you can get to know us, and you can,
I mean, it's
sort of a Coronation Street type thing, where people identify and can trust people.
Well, I like all aspects of it. Some of the songs, you see, when I go on stage, rather than thinking about me, I think more about songs that are, in a sense, bigger than me. And some of them are very cold, sinister songs about elements that I've experienced. And the way I portray them is sometimes, I go into it instinctively, sort of sometimes a bit robotic, sometimes very dangerous. It could be a bit dangerous. People don't quite know how to take me. But at the end, when all is said and done, to come out at the end and say, and there's yet again, human person behind it too, is interesting.
Because there is that element that sometimes the songs and your performance seem somehow a bit detached at times.
And it
seems to me that the thing just now of you wearing like men's clothes is another step in that.
It's
a sort of remove.
Well, I'm exploring, you know. It sounds really dull, you know, to talk about clothes. So what's interesting about clothes, but I'm interested in personal style. It is a fascinating thing. And at the moment, sort of wearing men's clothes, it sounds a bit weird. Like,
well, a couple of people have said to me, oh, she's just ripping off Grace Jones, short haircut, men's clothes.
It's more complicated than that. It's too simple. Like, nobody can rip off Grace Jones. Grace Jones is an entity in herself, and she's incredible. But don't forget, Grace Jones was also a product of Jean-Paul Goude. That was a sort of union of two creative ideas. No, it's not that. I've taken the liberty of wearing more masculine clothes. And if people take the trouble to check out the music and to check out the performance live, I think they'll see the difference.
There's a very seductive feel to the music, especially much more so on record, I think, than this current show, which has a much greater deal of power.
Yes.
I mean, just through the band.
The show itself is very physical. I get very, very involved. Physically.
You sort of lose yourself.
Yeah, totally. I only enjoy it when I can completely. Well, actually, I realised last night when I came off stage that I was almost, not trance-like, but I was completely somewhere else. Like, you know, nobody could touch me, really. It just was in the performance so much. And that's what performance is about. It's completely personifying songs. And so much so that it touches everybody in the hall. I believe in performance. Performance is like having a good glass of water when you're very thirsty. It's something real, it's something tangible. And it's not about soaking yourself in your own ego. It's something more complicated.
You seem very driven on by the desire for something that is intangible. So something sort of comforting but challenging at the same time that you're not sure.
Yes, well, I myself have been incredibly deeply touched by music and lifted by it. And to put it in the word spiritual, then it takes on another form, and I'd rather not use that word, but it's just something very powerful and profound. And it's also disposable too. I'm not trying to make it a religious experience, it's not that. But I really am driven on by the potential of uplifting people for that moment and leaving it and going away and doing it somewhere else the next night.
Can you see that in the audience? Can you see?
Yeah. I've seen it in kids. I mean, I sometimes see different things in audience. I see bewilderment sometimes in people's faces. They don't know what it is. They don't identify with it. And sometimes you see, you know, somebody coming on to you, sort of being very gross sexually, and it's not that. And it's not, I don't look for adoration. I don't want adoration. I only want to touch somebody and for them to realise that they're being touched. And there's a pleasure involved in that. And a great joy, you know, sort of communicate. And I really enjoy it. It's great.
How did you come to do Satellite Abroad?
Well, I don't know. I sort of stumbled on the idea of it would be maybe fun to do it. I haven't really listened to it that much. I think I've heard it a few times. And we maybe got the album and listened to the words so we could find out what the words were. And even that has been changed. So Clem started to play differently on it and it's taken on a new dimension. And it's a spooky song when it says, satellites gone way up to Mars, sooneth will be filled with parking cars. And that's a very spooky thing to say, because this planet is filled with parking cars. There's an unexplored planet up there that man will soon perhaps land on. I like sort of maybe make a picture for people. Oh yes, you know. That's right.
How much are you going to pursue the visual side of things? I mean, you're using a few films and stones, and obviously your videos have a great effect. I mean,
I never would want it to be glossy, dominant visuals, where everybody's so impressed, and the money was spent here, and my God, it's so incredibly, what techniques they must have had. I think I'm more interested in simple theatre, that's just direct, using very simple techniques, where the techniques don't dominate the effect, if you follow what I mean. And I think I just want to improve on it, you know. I'd be interested in seeing what it looked like myself. I haven't seen any film of what we've done, and I'm sure there must be a big margin for improvement. I'm always looking to improve it.
Are you very self-critical?
Yes, very self-critical.
Do you find it difficult to work with Dave? Because Dave said that he's very scattery, in a sense, that he's so prolific.
Yeah, no, he's actually often pulls me along. He's constantly giving me good, productive feedback, always giving me an honest opinion. And I value his opinion enormously.
Who would you most like to work with?
Oh, well, at the moment, well, at the moment, I'm working with somebody that I wanted to work with, and that's Billy McKenzie. And I think there might be a possibility of working with him in a couple of weeks' time when I'm free. And we discussed it. And I really want to work with Billy because I think he inspires me tremendously.
Is that kindred Celtic spirits?
Possibly. There's a great deal of... the word eccentric isn't quite right. There's something about Scots people that I've discovered, especially the poets and the impassioned ones. They seem to have almost got a stroke of madness in them. Maybe Robbie Burns really was the embodiment of that spirit.
Do you feel there's a degree of madness in you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to try and keep that under control, or do you try and give it free range?
I give it free range when I'm on stage and in the studio. That's where it's allowed to express itself. That's where it's most at home. But I don't like it if it rears its head too much, because it can, you know, when you have to cope with going onto buses and taxis, and it becomes too surreal. You have to keep it in control. I think anybody that's creative has to acknowledge and explore the madness in you. The madness in you is just your subconscious being allowed to have a little bit more freedom than it would do in a more conventional
time. Is it sort of a return to childhood?
No, it's not a return to childhood. I don't think you can ever return to childhood, because you can't actually kick out the innocent. You can't get back to innocence. Once it's gone, I'm afraid, I think it really has gone. But in a way, it's just trying to touch the freedom that was there in childhood with an adult eye. You know, because I mean, I've had the experience of an adult now, sort of fully fledged. And also, I would say, there's three stages. There's childhood, where one doesn't know oneself, but you're totally immersed in your experience. The second stage is coming to terms with the fact that you recognise that your parents had a great deal to do with who you are, rebelling against that, and then discovering the next stage, which is the stage I'm at now, which I think is a more wholer aspect of me, which embodies the first and the second stage, but is more developed. And that's what's interesting about being 28.
Are you worried about having grown up, as it were? Are you worried about the sense of responsibility of people seeing you on TV and buying records, and maybe starting to look like you, or looking up to you for...
It does, yeah, well, actually, it doesn't worry me, but it does worry me. Like last night, we were sitting in the van, and a girl had come along, and I gave her a ticket because I wanted her to get in to see us, and she didn't have the money to do it. And I could see that she wasn't taking me just for the music. There was something more she wanted. And I can't be responsible for that. I can't be responsible for people's hang-ups or for their crushes. If they have, you know, there's all people want different things out of you. They maybe want to pull your shoelace when you're on stage, or maybe they just want to talk to you, or maybe they want to get involved in a way that you just can't, you know. And somehow, when that does happen, it is very difficult, because sometimes I have to ask somebody to get, not to get rid of them, but to whisk me away so that I can get to be on my own. And it doesn't feel right.
Are you worried about how much you give to the public? I mean, conscious of not trying to give, you know, too much away. I mean, you've already said that people can probably secret.
Only in so much as I just hope my energies get too sapped, and that what I have got to give is worthwhile giving. That it's not just an apology for something.
But are you worried that there might come a time when you can't sort of shut off and can't close the door and escape?
Well, let's put it like this. I mean, if that happens, I'll meet it when I come to it. At the moment, I'm just sort of coping with what's happening now. And that's okay, I can cope with this. I'm more concerned with the fact that I know that when the marketplace gets too hectic, that the strength of the music or the original motivation can get diluted. And I'm very concerned that that doesn't happen. And I think as long as
might there not be the risk that you could coast, that you know that whatever you release next is going to sell on the strength?
Oh, there's always that terrible temptation when the bigger company is sort of going, right, come on, let's cash in. And I really don't want to cash in now.
Would you re-release any previous singles?
I don't want to at this stage. I want to go ahead and do new things. But, you know, the temptation is there because there's good material that's been released that hasn't been given any acknowledgement, really. I don't know what's going to happen on that score. I would rather put something new out. We'll have to cope with that, won't we?
The reverse of the thing from the tourists of like, having learned, you know, certain errors and the experience of all that, and being slightly fearful the second time around that you don't make the same errors. Is there also a possibility of you thinking, we've really got to take this chance now that we're successful and do the things and do it right, because there may not be a third time if this falls apart for whatever reason?
It's a very difficult question to answer. I felt I really had to take the chance to do something before now. You know, I mean, the chance, it isn't just by chance that we've reached this stage. The chance to do something came when the record company said, okay, we will endorse you, we will give you the finance to go ahead and make your records. And that's what we've been working on now. The public now has recognised us, and in a sense, you're right, they've given, by buying the records, they've given us their chance too. I don't know. I personally feel, as long as I am, that there's a healthy state where you are creating something, and it's saying what you wanted to say, and it's working the way you want it to work, and you are not ashamed of it, and you feel, this is right, this is what I want to say, that's good. If it's not what you want to say, and it's going well on that, then you're in trouble, and that was what happened with the tourists.
Yeah.
Because I would say, it wasn't really what I wanted. Not really.
If it all stopped tomorrow, what mischances would you regret, or what would you regret that you didn't have time to fulfil?
The chance I maybe regret is when I would like to be able to say something for myself and having other people say it for me and say something that I didn't want to be said in the media. That troubles me. When other people put words in my mouth or misrepresent me or try to sum me up in a few paraphrases, and I feel that I haven't got an opportunity to rebuke those statements.
You end up doing essays like Dex's?
No, because I think there's a pitfall in that too. I think you can be made a fool of. People can go, oh, come on. Because in actual fact, although I take it very seriously and very profoundly, and I believe in music, on the other hand, I can't take the industry that seriously or the media that seriously, because it's also disposable to me. And I said another thing to you previously, which was, as far as the public are concerned, you are only as good as your last record. So I have to ensure that I am as good as the records, you know, in a way.
Okay, if you've got five words to give people a message, what would it be?
The message of Eurythmics.
Or your message?
Five words is that, it's very difficult.
The enemy was easy. As soon as it's you, you become six.
Well, I don't know. It depends who I would be saying it to. It would just be to enemy, sounds readers.
Your fans.
Sounds to the fans.
Yes. To the people that bought the record.
Super dreams are made of this.